My taxes help to support the public institutions which I have mentioned, and they cost enough. Those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there, and many would rather die.
If they would rather die, perhaps they had better do so, and decrease the surplus population.
Surely you don't mean that, sir.
With all my heart.
Hi, I'm Rob West. That, of course, was Ebenezer Scrooge in Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Did you know there's a profound socioeconomic message hidden in that exchange? Jerry Boyer lets us in on the secret today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, Jerry Boyer is our resident economist here at FaithFi and the president of Boyer Research. He's also the author of The Maker and the Takers, What Jesus Really Said About Social Justice and Economics. Jerry, great to have you back.
Always a pleasure. Was that George C. Scott? Was that the George C. Scott version that you just played?
It sure was. Absolutely.
That's a good one.
It sure was. Well, I'm looking forward to this. A little different, Jerry. We're doing a movie review, and most of us have heard or read that exchange between Scrooge and the alms collectors many times. So I'm looking forward to hearing your insights. Jerry, what have we been missing?
Well, what we've been missing is the extreme importance of that phrase, surplus population. Because we don't happen to be in the mindset of the early mid-1800s. So when we have conversations in our time, if we hear someone say zero population growth, we know what that means. Yep. If we hear people talking about reproductive rights, we know what that means. But if we hear someone talk about surplus population, we don't know what that means. But they did. And it's not really very subtle at all. There was a very active debate that had started, I don't know, about 40 years before Dickens wrote the book, A Christmas Carol, by the Reverend economist Thomas Malthus. So I guess he's a Christian economist, but I don't think he was a very good one. Because Malthus believed that because of the biblical commentary about the ground being cursed, that meant that there were too many people in the world. That as we reproduced and created and brought into being, God creates us, but as we conceive and bring into the world more people, that the population grows faster than the food supply and the supply of goods and services. So that's called Malthusianism, big word for this Malthus. He wrote a book called An Essay on Population that was very influential. And basically, the idea was we need to stop the poor, especially, from having so many babies. They're having too many children because they're producing what? Surplus population. There is a population surplus, too many people, not enough food. So when Dickens put that language in the mouth of Ebenezer Scrooge, he's making a very important point. Scrooge is now a stand-in for a certain philosophy, the philosophy of Thomas Malthus, the philosophy that now we would call zero population growth.
Yeah, and not everyone agreed with Malthus, of course. So who opposed his theories?
Jean-Baptiste Say, who was one of the founders of classical and supply-side economics, but I think a lot of G.K. Chesterton was another, the Christian journalist. But I think his most important opponent was Charles Dickens. Because once you understand that Dickens is writing about this, we now understand that The Christmas Carol was, in fact, a story written against Malthus. Because by the end, Scrooge changes his mind. Scrooge is wrong, okay? So if you put a philosophy in the mouth of your villain, you're basically saying you disagree with that philosophy. And the story really is the unfolding of why, first of all, why Scrooge got wrong in the first place. It has to do with his own childhood trauma of hunger and cold. When he goes back in time with the ghost of Christmas past, and these aren't ghosts, these are angels, right? That's, I think, obvious to most Christian readers. When he goes back in time, Dickens says that the school where he lived felt or smelt of not enough to eat and too much cold and too much darkness. So he was poor when he was young. By the way, an interesting kind of economic history side note here. if you treat Scrooge like a real historical character, he grew up before he was a child before the free market revolution, when things really were dire. And then when he's an adult, you have a free market revolution and things really are abundant.
Fascinating. Jerry Boyer here today. Much more on A Christmas Carol just around the corner. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. George Handel wrote the Messiah by hand, from beginning to end, for every voice, every instrument, in only 3 weeks. He barely ate and he barely slept. Early one morning, Handel's servant discovered him sitting up in bed after having worked all night. Tears were streaming down his face. He had just finished the Hallelujah Chorus, the words of which are taken from Revelation. Stop and listen again to these powerful words. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amazingly, this great king wants you to know him better. Visit getanchored.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
You know, we think, well, when we succeed, it's Jesus praying for us. No, when we're failing, Jesus is praying for us. And he prays us through our failures so that we get back to the place of fellowship with him.
Dr. David Jeremiah shares his message, Is He Praying for Us, or Are We Praying to Him? On the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Delighted to have you with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. With me today, Jerry Boyer, my good friend, our resident economist and president of Boyer Research. We're doing a movie review today. That's right. It's the Christmas season, and we're talking about Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, perhaps from a vantage point you haven't considered previously. Jerry, just before the break, you were talking about Thomas Malthus and how he was really represented in the character of Scrooge, who was obviously the villain character in this tale that comes full circle at the end. But what else can we take away from this character that gives us some insight into Malthus and what he was advocating at the time?
Well, I think one of the things that's really interesting is the Ghost of Christmas Present. When Scrooge first sees him, Christmas Present says, "Have you never met my like behind or any of my brothers before or any of my brothers?" And Scrooge says, "How many brothers have you had?" "Well, more than 1,800. In other words, there have been more than 1,800 Christmases. And what's Scrooge's reaction? "What a large family to provide for." See, there's that scarcity mindset.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people think having a lot of brothers and sisters is a good thing. I do. My kids, My kids do. Sure. They like having brothers and sisters, but we believe God is abundant and generous. But Scrooge didn't, if he believed in him at all. And when Scrooge says that, what a large family to provide for, Christmas Present rises in anger. He disapproves of Scrooge's Malthusian ideas. Later on, when they go to see Tiny Tim, Scrooge, you know, talks about Tiny Tim and how he cares for them, and the ghost kind of throws it back in his face. Well, isn't he the, you called him the surplus population? You know, yes. Forgo that cant, man. And then he makes an analogy that Scrooge is like a bug on a leaf looking down at the bugs in the dirt, saying that there are too many. To him, we're all kind of bugs, but, you know, Scrooge is a little richer than Tim, so he thinks there's too many people. And then the ghost kind of raises the question, maybe you're the surplus population. Maybe you're the one that doesn't deserve to live. So he's pretty tough on Scrooge, but in the end, it works well. And then later, the Ghost of Christmas Present takes him to the marketplace, and there's all this food. And he emphasizes the food from different parts of the world, oranges and things like that, which you can't grow in Britain. So The international trade and the economic takeoff that you and I have talked about in that presentation that I do on 2,000 years of economic history, where you see the bubbles rising and falling. When you see the United Kingdom bubble rising, it's back down low in Malthusian equilibrium when Scrooge is a baby, and it's kind of popping out during Scrooge's lifetime. The great takeoff is actually occurring. Obviously, he's a fictional character, but you can kind of treat him where he was. And that great takeoff is just taking place during his lifetime. Malthus was wrong at exactly the worst time. He makes his predictions before the greatest increase in human flourishing ever known to mankind.
Mm, wow. Well, now, of course, these Malthusian ideas haven't gone away, Jerry. So who's advocating them in modern times?
Planned Parenthood is the Malthusian philosophy in industrial profitized form, even though technically it's a nonprofit. The abortion revolution is largely a result of a belief that there's surplus population. We go back to Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. Too many of the wrong people, the swarthy people, the people of color, the poor people. So it's interesting that these people who believe that there are too many people, it's never their kind of people that there are too many of. Ivy League professors who think there are too many people don't think, well, there's too many of my folks. You know, They think there's too many of other kind of folks, usually immigrants, usually people who are working class. This is why the Scopes trial takes place in the South. Southerners are thought of as too many people because they're thought of as backwards. Black people, Italian people, Jewish people, outsiders. They're the surplus population. And whether it's the contraceptive revolution or whether especially I'm going to focus on to the degree that it's grounded in a zero population growth ideology, that it's bad to have babies. And that shows up in the abortion industry. That shows up in a lot of like the Davos world and the United Nations sustainability. It shows up in a lot of corporate engagement that in order to be sustainable, we have to have fewer people. History shows in order to be sustainable, we have to have more people. The most sustainable thing that we can do economically is to fulfill God's commandment to fill the earth and subdue it.
Yes.
There are no surplus people. And I think it's interesting. I think this story is called A Christmas Carol because Jesus, Yeshua of Nazareth, would very easily have been classified as surplus population in a Malthusian worldview.
Mm. Now, the poor in workhouses in England weren't fictional, of course. So how did the economic system there and elsewhere get so confused?
Well, I by the way, note that they're government entities. So Scrooge is, in some ways, a welfare state person. In other words, men are going door to door saying, we want to do private charity, and he doesn't want to do private charity. Yeah. He wants to do it through taxes, where it's impersonal. The workhouses and the prisons, they would keep people alive, but it would be a terrible existence. So the idea is to punish them for being poor. And that obviously is not the solution. So if you want to be the opposite of Scrooge, you're going to be pro-baby, and you're going to be pro-private charity. You're going to be pro-generosity. And by the end, that's exactly what Scrooge is. He's pro-generosity. By the way, another little side story. When he visits his nephew Fred, you know, when Fred visits him, Fred implies that Scrooge was upset because Fred married. Why did you marry? Scrooge didn't want his nephew to marry because of surplus population. You marry and you have children. See, it comes up again and again and again. Scrooge's whole existence was there's too many people. God, if he exists at all, is stingy. By the end, though, what is he? He's generous, and he's especially generous to children. By the way, I don't know if people know this, but Dickens wrote a novel version of the Gospels. He read the Gospels and then wrote a novel. I think it's called The Life of Our Lord, and it has similar themes. So Dickens was thinking a lot about Jesus, wrote a novel about him, and also about he was one of those people who might have been considered the forgotten class, but he treated everyone with love and dignity, which made Jesus unusual. That's something Dickens really focuses on the novel.
Wow. Yeah, well said. Jerry, we're getting short on time. So when folks watch A Christmas Carol this season and perhaps look at it through this new lens, this filter that you've just shared, what would you hope, above all else, they take away from the story?
That God is generous, not stingy. That Scrooge is damaged because he grew up in poverty. It's real. There's trauma. And so we should be patient with him and help move him away. But that we should help move our entire Scrooge ruling class philosophy away from Scrooge at the beginning towards Scrooge at the end, where everybody's welcome. We aren't bugs in the dust. It's interesting that the founder of the zero population growth movement, Paul Ehrlich, was a bug biologist. We're not bugs. Bugs just eat. Now, that's God. God gave them that job. They don't produce. But human beings aren't bugs. We produce, and we produce more than we consume. And over time, that has given us miraculous prosperity and flourishing, which Dickens was just seeing the beginning of. So I think we should watch it with gratitude and also understanding that there's real philosophy going on here and theology going on here. It's not just a fun story. And then we should bring Dickens' philosophy into our own lives. The child in the womb who's unwanted is the tiny Tim of our generation.
Wow, well said. What an opportunity to share this with our kids, too, as we watch this and help them interpret what they're seeing. Jerry, always thankful for you, my friend. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. God bless us, everyone.
That's exactly right, and a great place to end today. That's Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. We've been talking about Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Stick around.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Snickers is running an unnecessarily vulgar commercial that makes light of sin and swinging. The commercial features two couples playing a board game where a misunderstanding leads to one person expressing interest in wife swapping. It's poor taste to make light of such an indecent topic, especially when aired on family-friendly television. Join us at 1 Million Moms to get Snickers to stop its inappropriate marketing campaigns. Sign the petition at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman, Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Always great to have our friend Jerry Boyer stop by, and a fascinating look at A Christmas Carol today as we uncover God's design for economics and wealth creation through that classic tale from Charles Dickens. Well, it's time to turn the corner and talk about anything financial today. We want to know what you're thinking about, help you apply the wisdom from God's Word to your practical decisions and choices, making God your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish His purposes. So what are you thinking about today? Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We have lines open. Let's begin in Alabama today. Hi, Carol. How can we help?
Hi. I was just wanting to ask how I go about giving. I usually try to give when it's being matched, dollar for dollar.
Yeah.
And I wanted to give to you guys because you do so much to help preserve, you know, Christians and what we fought this country, you know, in the beginning for,
yes,
the
ma'am.
Freedom of religion. And so anyway, that's what I wanted to find out.
Well, I appreciate that so much, and we appreciate you being on the program today. It's quick and easy to give at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And you will find that right now we have a $50,000 dollar-for-dollar match going on as a not-for-profit here at FaithFi and a listener-supported ministry. We rely on generous supporters like you and so many others to bring you this program every day and do all the work we do at FaithFi in partnership with American Family Radio. So just head to faithfi.com, and you'll see right there at the top of the page, you can click Give, and you will see the status of our $50,000 match. We're making great progress, but we've got some more room to go, and it's got to happen by tomorrow for us to take full advantage of this. Carol, thanks for calling. Actually, in the studio with me for this segment of the broadcast is Chad Clark. Chad serves as executive director of FaithFi. And Chad, let's just take a moment to react to what Carol was asking, because this is a unique opportunity this week only, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is an exciting time for us here at FaithFi. We're in our end of year fundraising, which really just helps position us for 2024. And this week only, we've got a $50,000 match challenge. We're about halfway there. So we definitely need some help to reach that full 50K match, which will end by end of day tomorrow, the 15th of December.
Yeah, that's exactly right. About halfway there. A gift of any amount would go a long way. Perhaps you can make a one-time gift of $50 or $100. Or maybe you could set up a monthly gift. Or if God's blessed you with a bit more, we are going to need to hear from a few of you that could do a $1,000 or a $3,000 or $5,000 gift. That will be matched as well. Well, and Chad, it's really about the life change, and you as executive director get to hear a lot of those stories coming in every day, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredible to hear people's stories of when they recognize that God is the owner of everything and our role as a steward. It changes your relationship into marriage. It changes your relationship with your children. It just changes your relationship with money as you see it as a tool to accomplish God's ultimate purposes. And that's really what it's about. I mean, I love one of the things that we've seen here at FaithFi is that the church on average gives about 2.5% to the church. What we found through our surveys here at FaithFi is that FaithFi listeners and app users give upwards of 12%. That's
wow.
A significant difference. And that's so exciting because that is money going back into the kingdom to make a difference in the lives of other people and point them back to Jesus, which is really what it's all about.
You know, our vision here is very clear at FaithFi. It's that all Christians would see God as their ultimate treasure. And you might say, well, wait a minute, I thought you were all about money, and we are handling God's money. But in view of God as our ultimate treasure, which means money now becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. So, Chad, we want to employ wise biblical principles, which will help us build wealth and live within our means. But it's not to that end. It's not about enriching ourselves first. It's really about intimacy with our relationship with the Lord, right?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And what happens there is that we find that peace and that joy that this world just can't ever offer.
Yeah.
And so the world's telling us that money and possessions is going to give us that, but really we only find that in a relationship with the Lord. So we're just grateful for those of you that have supported this ministry. We're so grateful to be able to do this work every day. Rob, I'm thankful for you every single day taking these calls, just pouring into the FaithFi community. And so if you're in a position where you can help us at this end of year campaign and take advantage of this $50,000 match this week, we would just be so grateful for your support.
Yeah, we sure would. FaithFi.com. You can go to FaithFi.com and click give, or just go to FaithFi.com/impact. You'll see the status of our giving campaign this week, our dollar for dollar match. Every gift doubled up to $50,000 until tomorrow. You'll also see right there on that page a bit about where we're headed. Chad, any sneak peeks around where we're going in 2024?
Yeah, we've just got some really exciting things that we're working on. The first one is a brand new Bible study that we're working on that we're getting ready to launch in the first quarter of next year that's really going to help us understand what it means to make God our ultimate treasure, like you were just saying, Rob. And so we're just so excited about the work that we're doing here, the life change that we're hearing. And we just, again, we need your help to kick off 2024 in a really strong way.
Absolutely. A lot of great things coming your way, some improvements and enhancements to the app. And as Chad mentioned, we're launching our studies, plus continuing just to serve you every day on these airwaves. So this is the time, folks. We are going to get to your questions for the rest of the program. But thank you for allowing us to share our heart and just remind you about this incredible opportunity we have going on right now between now and into business tomorrow. Every gift to FaithFi will be doubled. So your gift of 50 is 100, your gift of 100 is 200, your gift of 1,000 is 2,000. And it would help us go a long way to continuing to serve God's people so you can be that wise and faithful steward of what God has entrusted to you. Because here's the secret: we don't own anything. God owns it all, but He's called you and me and Chad and all of us to be His money managers. We want to be faithful money managers, faithful to the King of Kings, and that's why we always direct you back to Scripture. So would you consider a gift right now? Head to faithfi.com and just click give, and you can be a part of our dollar for dollar match. Chad, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
All right. And thanks for your patience. We're coming your way, Lynn in Missouri. You'll be up next after the break as well. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian credit counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian credit counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
No more tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
As 2023 comes to a close, we are thankful for the generous and faithful supporters of FaithFi who believe in the message of financial faithfulness found in God's Word. This season, we want to give back to you. For your support, we'll send you the book, Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain. For just a few more days, you can request your copy with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Start the new year by aligning God's purposes with your finances. That's faithfi.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. All right, we're ready to take your questions today, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. Call right now. Let's head to Missouri. Lynn, you've been waiting very patiently. Go right ahead.
Oh, good morning, Rob. Good morning. How are you, Rob?
Thank
you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
So I have a question. I work, and I just want to know what is a good investment, a place that I can invest money in. I don't have a whole lot, and I don't make a whole lot at my job. I do tithe regularly, and I have savings accounts for my children. I have two children, so I have two savings accounts for them. But again, I'm probably maybe bringing home maybe $2,200 a month, and I just want to know, like, what is a good investment that's strong and it's strong in God's word? It's, you know, something faith-based that I can invest my money in for my children. Thank you.
I love that. Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the keys here is you've mentioned that you've got some savings. That's good. I'd love for you to have at least 3 months worth of expenses in that savings account first, so that when the unexpected comes, you can fall back on that and, you know, not use any credit cards or anything like that. I'd also love for you to have a spending plan so you know exactly what's coming in every month, which you already mentioned that, and then where it goes, both those things you get a bill for and those things you don't, what we call discretionary expenses, even those non-recurring expenses, something that might come quarterly or semi-annually, like a, you know, your property taxes or your, you know, car insurance payment might happen, you know, every 3 months, not every month, that type of thing. So we want to build all that in so we've got a plan to cover everything, even if we're putting something in savings for a few months, you know, planning for when that bill might come through. Beyond that, we do want to be systematically investing. Now, do you have a retirement plan available to you at work?
Sir, I do, but at this, since I started beginning to save, I'm like starting very, 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 very little. So I initiated the savings accounts, but there isn't a lot in them. Like I don't even have 1 month worth of savings in them. What I did do I went to the store and got some envelopes, and I wrote a dollar amount on the envelopes. So I try to put the dollar amount in those envelopes.
I like
to save it at home, and I did pretty good the first time, and then I had to use it, so I was like, man, I'm not sure if I can, you know, like you said, create 3 months worth of savings, but that's what I really want to get to. Unfortunately, my husband was recently laid off from his job, not permanently, but then it does affect the income for the house. So we are grateful and thank God that we actually have two vehicles that we don't have to pay for.
Great.
We pay the insurance. Our home is paid for. so we don't have a mortgage or anything, but we pay homeowners and we pay house insurance. So I just want to get start a trail for my children, one, to learn how to tithe, two, to be cheerful givers. And, of course, I would like to donate to your ministry as well. I've been listening for a long time, and I would like to, you know, donate to other other radio stations that we listen to. So I just kind of wanted to know where to start. You mentioned something a while ago with another caller about Goldman Sachs, and I don't know if we have one where I live, but I was just kind of thinking of a, I just wanted a really good company that was centered in God's word and God's way of giving.
Yeah. I'm not sure what that reference was to Goldman necessarily, but so a couple of things I'd like to do. Number one is, if you'd like to begin investing into a good faith-based investing mutual fund, like the Timothy Plan, like Eventide or One Ascent, or you know, a number of the others that we talk about here on this program, you can find those on our website at faithfi.com. Just click on the show, and then you'll see among our underwriters are those faith-based investing companies, like I mentioned, Timothy Plan, Eventide, and others. You could go directly to them, set up a systematic investment plan where you'd begin funding an investment portfolio, and you would have some confidence that the objective of those funds is to manage those in a God-honoring way, avoiding companies that are misaligned with your values, and specifically orienting toward companies that make the world rejoice, that are promoting human flourishing and even a kingdom impact. So you can head to our website to learn more about that. What I'd like to do for you, Ann, is give you a gift. I'd like to connect you with a certified Christian financial counselor. We'll cover the cost for it. But I'd like for this person to come along. This is a trained counselor that could help you and your husband set up that spending plan, whether you want to use a smartphone app like the FaithFi app or a physical envelope system. They could help you dial into your spending plan. And here's the thing. If we can make that spending plan work without your husband's income, then obviously once he gets that next job, we're going to have some surplus, and that's where you could really make some progress toward your goals. But I want you to do the hard work to get on the budget and get your expenses nailed down before he has that income, so that way we can prioritize, you know, putting that money aside for the future and you being able to give generously as the Lord leads, all of those things. So I'm going to have you stay on the line. We're going to get your information, and we're going to connect you with a certified Christian financial counselor, okay?
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. And you as well. Thanks for your call, Lynn. Let's go to Missouri. Ann, you've been patient as well. How can we assist you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is, I am greatly behind on retirement. I just turned 63. I'm still working full time. There is a possibility of some inheritance to come. I don't know how soon. The last parent passed away in February of this year. I know there's a trust. I'm not privileged to how much or, you know, what, but I think that there's a possibility of maybe $30,000 coming my way.
Okay.
So my question is, should I invest that in retirement, or should I put that towards a down payment on a home? I've not been a homeowner for about 15 years. I've been renting, and I don't see any end in sight on retiring anytime soon, because I am so far behind on retirement. I do have some in savings, not a great amount, but I do have 3 to 6 months of living expenses tucked aside. I'm debt-free. My vehicle is a 2009. So, you know, within some time, I'd say within the next maybe 3 to 5 years, hopefully not sooner, I would need to replace my vehicle. I always pay cash for those. I find a good used one. So that's basically my question is, should I come into some money? What should I do? I guess another question, if you have time, is should I pick up a part-time job to start socking away more money into my retirement account?
Yeah.
I am divorced and have been for 15 years.
So. Yeah. Well, I appreciate all that background. And, you know, here's what I would say. You know, we need to prioritize your goals. Obviously, one of those goals is to make sure you have enough to live on in retirement. One of the exercises you can go through is look at what your expenses will be in retirement. I love that you're living modestly. You live debt free. I know you'd like to have a home. And obviously, you know, that's something we could talk about. But we want to look at, so for instance, let's say you worked in your current job and maybe you add the part part-time income on top of it for saving purposes. And I like that idea if you're able to do that. But let's say you were to do that up to age 70 for the next 7 years, let your Social Security continue to grow, which, you know, if you did that, you'd have, you know, your check would be about 21 to 25% higher for the rest of your life once you started collecting, because it grows by 8% a year. One question would be, if you did that, and you'd have to look at your benefit statement at myssa.gov, would that be enough to cover your bills? And if it was, then all this savings is obviously just surplus. So let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'd like to tackle this and see if we can answer that question and give you a path forward from there. And then Archie, Stan, we're coming your way as well. We'll be right back.
In the Bible, we're told Jesus would have many names and titles. But what do those names and titles mean? How can they help us better understand Him? I'm Charles Morris. Listen to Haven Today all week with me as we share a Christmas series called The Many Names of Jesus.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Before the break, we were talking to Ann in Missouri. She's a bit behind on retirement. She's 63. She's got a little bit of money in savings. She is debt-free, but interested in buying a home, currently renting, maybe coming into $30,000 to $40,000 in inheritance. She's not quite sure yet while that's being worked through, but just wondering if that does come to pass. Should she put that aside in savings for maybe a home purchase or her next car, or should she stick that in retirement? Let me ask Ann, where I was going before the break is, have you looked at what you would expect from Social Security? And if you were to delay taking it to age 70 and have somewhere around a 21 to 25% increase in that check, would that be enough to cover your bills?
I believe it would, because okay. The only bills that I have, well, currently, of course, is rent, utilities, and car insurance. Of course, health insurance is with my my employer. They pay about half.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I did recently take out a long-term health care plan because
great.
I'm concerned, because I'm by myself and nobody to help offset any medical expenses or anything. So I went ahead and purchased that because I just feel like I might need it someday, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, very good. No, that makes a lot of sense. Now, let me ask you, what are you paying right now for your rent?
$1,010.
Okay. All right. And have you looked around, like if you were to, for instance, buy something, what would you like to, spend just based on your budget and what's in your area, the space that you need, that type of thing?
Well, what my budget will allow and what's on the market are two different things.
Sure.
I mean, I mean, I'm sure you have experienced the same thing, but everything is still, you know, overly priced on houses. You know, I'm actually shocked and amazed at what they ask for something that, you know, is barely standing, you know, and I'm like, you want $100,000 for that? And it's like, it's about to fall in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I really don't know. I've not done a lot of,
okay,
because there's, I don't know that there's even a possibility that can ever happen. So I guess I just haven't really dreamed and looked to see, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it makes sense. Well, let's say, just, you know, doing some quick numbers here, let's say you were to find something for $200,000 and you took that $40,000 and you put it as the down payment, which is what I'd recommend, 20%. So then you'd have a mortgage of $160,000 at 6% interest, which is a little lower than where we are now, but rates will be coming down. With the taxes and an estimate on the homeowners, you'd probably be looking at about $1,600 a month, I'm guessing. Which obviously is quite a bit more than you're spending right now. So, you know, that would be just the question as to whether that's even, you know, feasible. And if it's not, then, you know, you would need to, well, excuse me, I reran those numbers. So you'd be looking, if you put $40,000 down, so you had a $160,000 mortgage, it'd be about $950 for the mortgage, but with taxes and insurance, about $1,250. So that would be a little bit higher than what you're paying now, but not a lot. So if you feel like you could find something that fits your budget, then I would say, yeah, let's, you know, take that $40,000 and use that to buy the home. And then I like the idea of you considering a part-time job, keeping your expenses as low as possible, and taking all of that income and putting it either into a company-sponsored retirement plan at work, if you have one, and if not, you know, at least fully funding an IRA every year, which over the age of 50, you could put in $7,500 this year. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So I think that's perhaps the direction that you ought to consider going, is how important is it for you to be a homeowner versus renting? And if you wanted to, I think we establish that budget. Again, what I'm saying is an estimate would be a $200,000 home with $40,000 down, $160,000 mortgage, about $1,250 a month with taxes and homeowners insurance built in. If you could make that work in your budget, then perhaps that's something to consider. And then the next question is, okay, let me go out in my area and shop around and see if there's something I could be happy with at $200,000. And if not, I either need to stick with renting, wait for home, you know, mortgage rates to come down, you know, or, you know, look at other ways to trim the budget or add income.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling today, Ann. Listen, all the best to you. We appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to Oklahoma. Hi, Stan. How can I help you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing real well. Thank you.
Yeah, I have one question. My wife and I are currently employed. We're both retired, but we went to another job. But we're on the road about 6-7 months out of the year. And our approximate income a year I take home is about $60,000-$65,000 a year together. And
okay.
We're both retired. I retired from the civil service. My wife just retired, just as a housewife, but we draw Social Security. And, but we have about $65,000 in our savings account, but I don't know how to go about investing that or where I should invest it or what. We don't owe anything. Everything's paid off. So.
Okay. Yeah. Are you wanting to put that into, let's say, the stock or bond market and take a little bit of risk with it to try to grow it? Or are you looking for something that's guaranteed?
Well, a little bit of both. We play around with the stock market a little bit just to see how it works. And it's kind of scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
well, I think the key is to make sure that, first of all, we have the right buckets, and I'll explain what I mean by that here in a moment. And then secondly, with that bucket that is potentially going into the stock and bond market, that we have the right portfolio. So we're not taking unnecessary risk and it's appropriate for your age. But the idea is that if you have some money available beyond what is an appropriate emergency fund right now, that one of the ways for you to offset the effects of inflation and the loss of purchasing power through inflation is to try to grow your wealth through stocks and bonds in a conservative approach. And here's the idea that, you know, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you might need this money to last until you're 90 or 100. And if that's the case, you can still, even in your 70s, have a long time horizon for this money, which means you're not looking at how's it going to do over a month or a year or even 5 years. You're looking, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road for this money. Now, what would you say is the total of your monthly expenses, roughly?
Roughly, let's see, maybe $700, $800 a month. All we pay is electric and our propane bill. And then just groceries. We're on the road so much that we don't spend much on that.
Yeah, but what about like taxes on the home, on your home, and my insurance?
Home, property taxes are. I'm homesteaded, so my property taxes are only about $100 a year. Okay. Insurance runs me $1,400 a year on a home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
about car insurance and fuel and all that kind of stuff?
My fuel, since we.
Oh, I lost
you. I'm on the road. I don't use my cars at all.
Okay, got it.
My fuel costs.
Let's say, for the sake of argument, it's $1,500 all in. You know, what I'd love for you to have in savings is, you know, probably 12 months in this season of life. So that'd be $18,000. So I'd probably leave at least $15,000 to $20,000 of this in a high-yield savings account. If you're more comfortable with a brick-and-mortar bank, then I'd look maybe locally for a credit union that offers a little better rate of interest. If you're comfortable using an online bank, you know, you could get 4.5% or 5% on your money right now, which, let's say you were to leave $20,000, you know, take $20,000 of that $60,000 and put it into a high-yield savings, and you get 5%, that's an extra $1,000 a year. Well, that's great. That's a lot of extra money that you're generating. So I'd go to bankrate.com. Again, if you're comfortable on the internet, bankrate.com. Find a 5-star high-yield online savings account that's FDIC insured. Open that up. Link it to your checking account, your primary checking at your local bank if you use one. And then you could move money back and forth electronically, but at least you'd get a, you know, a good rate of return on that while it's sitting there. And then if you wanted to consider investing the $40,000 that remains, you know, you certainly could do that. And, you know, what I would do at that point is, you know, probably look at our friends at soundmindinvesting.org to help you, you know, pick some high quality mutual funds to get that money growing. And we'd probably be talking about a balanced fund, which just simply means it's balanced between stocks and bonds, and the bonds would provide some more stability. Does all that make sense, though?
I have an online account now, also with a Federal Credit Union.
Okay. And what rate of return are you getting on that savings account?
With the credit union, I put it into I got two savings accounts. I got one that's a primary, which is attached to my checking account, and one is separate from the separate one gives me right now about 2.5%, I think it
All
is.
Right. Yeah, you could double that with an online bank. You just want to go to bankrate.com and check out what they're offering there. But you can get between 4.6 and 5% with a really, you know, high quality, stable online bank with FDIC insurance. And then if you wanted to invest the 40 of the 60,000 that wasn't in the emergency fund, then what I'd do is head to soundmindinvesting.org. They could help you get something set up, maybe with Fidelity or Schwab, and then pick some high-quality, balanced mutual funds. Hopefully that helps you, Stan. We appreciate your call today. Archie in Tennessee, man, I really appreciate your patience. I would love to tackle your question. Let's do this. I'm going to ask you to hold, and we'll see if Robert Youngblood can get you scheduled for first tomorrow, so you can be first up tomorrow, because I'd love to weigh in on your question there about your 401k and the matching. We appreciate you trying to be on the program today, and I apologize we didn't get to you. Folks, that's going to do it for us here on Faith and Finance. On behalf of my team today, Jim Henry, Robert Youngblood, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West. Don't forget, today and tomorrow, every gift to FaithFi is double because of a generous gift from one of our listeners. Dollar for dollar match with every gift, which would go a long way to helping us reach our year-end goal of $250,000. If you've been blessed by the ministry and you'd like to support our work, head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com and click give. You can make a gift that'll be doubled today, monthly or one time, and thanks in advance. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.